The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Share Pickers Podcast, episode 1. Out of adversity comes opportunity. And I believe that. Just turned 50 this year, and I'm very happy where I am. You know, really am. I was going in the right direction in life. But going back 10 years wasn't the case. 40, and round about that time, was one of the low points in my life. But now in hindsight, I realise it was just a turning point in life, you know? And I'll give you a bit of a backstory. I'd say when I was about 37, 38... almost 35-ish. I was working in Capital Radio in London at the breakfast show with Johnny Vaughan, Denise Van Outen. An amazing place to work. You know, you get celebs coming in the building every day, every morning. All the biggest names be out there in any pop, radio, movies. They used to come through the doors pretty much on a daily basis. Phenomenal. And now, I started there when Johnny Vaughan had just taken over the Capital Breakfast Show, just taken over from Chris Tarrant, who'd been there for like 115 years. But I wasn't supposed to be on air, just helping Johnny sort of drive the desk, as it's called, you know, move the faders up and down, press the buttons, jingles, all that stuff, and help with script writing and all that stuff. But we got on very well, and we bounced off each other very well, and he brought me on air. And, you know, in the end, I got a feature on the radio called While She's Calling, where I used to call up people and do sort of, you know, spoof calls, essentially. But it's a good laugh. Excellent. And off the strength of that, The Capital Group launched XFM South Wales. There was a XFM in the north in Manchester. It was doing very well. They decided to launch that kind of brand. And I was offered the weekday breakfast show on XFM. And I started that with Pete and Steve. I just dragged them in. And we got paid to have a good laugh on the radio. You know? So weekdays, I was living in London, of course. And then I used to travel down to South Wales, Cardiff, the weekend to XFM South Wales. And I think one of the features we had, it was childish. I mean, it was a male sort of station, really childish. But one of the features we had was we played two different birds sound effects. And then we get female callers to call up and see if they could identify which it was. a swallow or a blue tit. So they'd be given the option tit or swallow. And that's all. It's childish, I know. That kind of stuff went on. But anyway, on the strength of that, right, I was offered the main breakfast show, you know, for weekdays on XFM South Wales. So I had a decision to make. I was working with Johnny and Denise Fountain and then Lisa Snowden later. Do I leave that to go to a brand new radio station? I thought, yeah, go for it. In life, I've always had this thought, try and do things. Not just being an observer, you know, try and do something and you create energy in some way and things turn out good, you know. There's continual work if you do things, create things. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to go for it. So I sold my flat in London. I had about, I think, 35 grand, or just a bit less than that, that I obviously intended to put into a brand new property in South Wales, you know, deposit for a mortgage there. So I got there, and all of a sudden, there was a takeover bid that went on. So another radio group wanted to buy the stations of Capital Radio. It was GCAP, whatever it was then back then. And sort of market forces went on. So what they decided to do was to stop the bid, because it wasn't a friendly bid or takeover approach. They decided to sell off new stations that weren't performing to raise the share price. One of the stations they decided to sell off was XFM South Wales. So it's almost like midway on the M4, I didn't have a job. I thought, what the heck? At the time that I was dating Megan, who's my wife, we moved into a rented property in South Wales. Obviously, then I didn't have a job. So I started working part-time at a place called Nation Radio. This is in Neath. I don't know if you know South Wales. I used to travel about 40 minutes to Neath on a Saturday morning, get paid nothing, pretty much, for 60 quid, something stupid. And that was it. That's all I had, income-wise. And so I couldn't afford to pay the rent. And then Megan became pregnant. Don't know how that happened. Obviously, yeah. But it was an awful time because I was applying for... And then, to compound that, the great financial crash happened. the banks started folding, you know, in America, the credit crunch happened, and then jobs, people were losing their jobs, there was no one taking on. So I was trying to get work. I had no money. I was renting a house, and I couldn't get any work. I was applying for jobs. I remember applying for a job in a factory in Bridgend. I went down there. And I was applying for, you know, imagine where I was here. Literally 6 months previously, I was, shaking hands with pop stars, movie stars, all that stuff. And now I was looking for a job in a factory in Bridgend, a job I wouldn't even looked at. And I was, do you know what depressing was? I didn't get the job. That was so sad. I mean, I was 40, turning 40. I've stopped exercising. It's almost like when you have no inspiration, you know, it affects your entire life. So I had, you know, I was living with someone, obviously Megan. I couldn't afford the rent. I had no job. And one of the things that always struck me in my head was my brother once said to me, if you don't make it by the time you're 40, you'll never make it. And now I know that isn't true. I know it's not true, but at the time it stuck in my head. I thought, this is it. I'm 40. I'm fat now. I have no job prospects. I can't afford my rent. But I've got 35 grand, or a bit less than that, but 32, I think it was, to try and I thought, I know what I'll do. I've always loved the stock market. I'm going to invest this. This will be the time I learn and make lots of money on the stock market. It just crashed pretty much, and I'm going to make money. And I made two massive mistakes, which I look back and now, I didn't have a clue what I was doing, you know? The first mistake was I trade trading. And I remember trading the NASDAQ, which is the American tech, obviously, indices. And there was what's called a fat finger moment. And this is when someone dumps a load of stock accidentally, goes short or something wrong. But it was around, I don't know what date it was, I was sort of flat in Cardiff. And literally, the stock market dropped by 1,000 points or something ridiculous in literally minutes. I lost close to £10,000 in minutes. And then I invested in a high-risk play, I think it was one of the banks, was it Bradford and Bingley? I can't even remember which bank it was now. I put money into that. I remember walking to town, Cardiff, and it going through and losing another sort of 10 grand. So pretty much I'd more than halved that mortgage payment. Now, I envisaged in my head, I'd double, triple this money, and you know, buy a house and stuff and still have that payment there. I'd halved it. So I didn't have a job. I pretty much almost lost my mortgage deposit. I had a girlfriend I was living with at the time who then announced she was pregnant with our first child, Fred. And I thought, what the heck? And I remember almost crying. I mean, in fact, you know, I remember waking up one night and smoking at 2 a.m, a bit so depressed, thinking, I never thought I'd be like this. I always thought I'd be quite a success and life was going well until I left Capital Radio. Why'd I do that? Why'd I take that risk? And then I just started, I don't know why, I said, well, I'm going to put my money in Lloyds Bank. So one bank had gone through. It was the Great Financial Crash, which was about banks. And I thought, I'm going to put all my money in Lloyds Bank. So I thought, maybe not all of it, but I'll put a big chunk in. So I remember that Lloyds Bank share price was something like 45 pence time. I thought, okay, it's not going to go any lower, because it was a couple of quid before that. And so I put money in, big chunk of the remaining money I had, and it went down below 40 pence, so that it can't go down any lower. So I put a bit more in when it went down to 35, so it can't go any lower. I put some more in. Then it hit 30, then Pizza joined for the weekend podcast there. I said, listen, this can't go any lower. It's one of the biggest banks in the UK. If Lloyds goes bust, even though the government had taken over Royal Bank of Scotland, because that was in big trouble. I said, it can't happen with Lloyds Bank, because Lloyds Bank, you know, own most of the mortgage market in the UK. If that goes through, we're all in big doo-doo, you know? So Pete joined in, said, it's not going to go below 30 pence, no way. And literally, I was waking up, I was in the middle of the night, so I'd wake up in a cold sweat, almost dreaming I'd lost all my money. But I wake up in the morning, go down again. It was like relentless. This was a huge crash in the financial system. And the banks just seemed to keep going down and down and down. And even though it seemingly was going to go to naught, I kept putting money in. all the money I had. I mean, literally, I think that my last top-up was around about 24, 23 pence. And I think Lloyd's got to like 22 and a bit, some of that. And then, oddly, things started turning around. Just what I thought was at the end of my tether. Literally. I applied for a job with Ruth Jones. I don't know if you know Ruth Jones from the Gavin and Stacey. Off the back of that, the BBC Radio Wales had offered her a radio show. I just sent my CV to her and her husband. Her husband asked me in to her house in Roth Park there, and we started going really well. Had a good laugh. And he said, yeah, well, come on, become the producer of the show. So I started doing that. Then he said, well, how do you fancy getting involved in the Christmas TV special with Ruth Jones of BBC Wales? Yeah, I had a part in that. I was on TV with her. And they also got me a part in their Sky comedy show. And then I got a sort of Lloyd's turning around. Lloyd's started going back up. And I think at one point he got 80 pence. And my average is about 30, I think. So I more than doubled my money in that. When I left, but I also traded some other things. But I had no idea about the risk at the time, you know? Absolutely no idea. Just luck. Absolute luck. And I made a good bit of money in that. But there was a lesson there in... I had all my money in one stock and did well. And of course, it transforms your portfolio. Now, if you hold too many stocks, I'll go into this later. But things started turning around. And then all of a sudden, I saw someone call me up from Capital Radio, who I used to work with, and said, is Welshy there? I said, yeah, this is me. He said, we're looking for someone for Jack FM. I said, my real name's Justin, by the way. He said, okay. And I got a job on Jack FM, brand new stations opening up on the South Coast in Southampton. So we decided to, pack our bags, me, the wife now, and Fred, newly born Fred, and went to the South Coast, started there. And I worked with Bam Bam was the host of the show on Jack FM. And really odd that when I was in London, Capital Radio, breakfast show in London. There was a war of the breakfast shows. It's like Chris Miles on Radio 1, Bam Bam on Kiss. And Bam was the one, even though it was the smallest station, he was winning all the awards, the Sony Awards, because him and Street Boy were doing some amazing stuff there. But then I got to work with Bam on the South Coast. But I've always been, envious. I used to cycle to work. I was then at 43, something like that. I was probably the fittest I've ever been in my life. So when someone says to you, you're 40, you're washed up, no, you're not. I was literally cycling, 6 miles into work, 6 miles out of work, and then I would run on the weekends, run in the afternoons, and I'd do 5-10 miles. I literally do press-ups, sit-ups, all that. At the age of 44, I had more stomach muscles visible than I ever had in my life. I've lost them now. things were going well, but this energy I was channeling into physical exercise, pretty much. I was missing something. And so it wasn't my radio show. And I've always been envious of people who have their own businesses, And so I wanted to start a business because my father's had a business. He's worked in car sales all his life, worked very hard, and he worked in properties as well. My mother's always said, my father's worked for every nut and bolt we have in this garage. And it's true. And he's done well, And I always envy people who actually got up off their backsides and decided to go alone, take that risk. So I started up, I'm going to start my own thing, online thing called happymap.com. It's still there. It failed, but it's still there. But what I wanted to do, because of my time when I was 40, depressed and not going anywhere in life, I really studied happiness and, how can you make yourself happy? And it's all about diet and exercise. That's why I was exercising a lot. But I wanted to start sort of a social network that was just happy, people posting happy stuff rather than the trolls you get on Twitter or Facebook. I spent about 20-odd grand on it. I had developers in India working non-stop on it. Didn't go anywhere. Now, I was chatting to Bam about this, and every day I talk about stocks and shares. I've always talked about stocks and shares anyway. And Bam said, a couple of things. Happy Map, it's not a map you've got there. It should be just a map. And he was really into online stuff, and Bam is one of these guys who has ideas every day, and then buys a domain name around that with the hope of coming up with creating the business. And he's quite a creative guy. But he said to me that that's not your passion, that Happy Map. Follow your passion, I said, what is that? He said, well, stocks and shares. You talk about it every day. I said, really? He said, yeah. So then rather than I used to cycle to work every day. Rather than just cycle to work there and back and then run in the afternoon, I thought, I'm going to start doing a podcast. Podcast was getting popular. It was the second sort of invention of dawn of podcasting. So I thought, right, how can I get an edge in investing? I want to become a better investor. In fact, I want to become an investor, full stop. How do I do that? And I've always heard this phrase about getting an edge, being ahead of the herd. And you've got to do that. If you want to become a better investor, whether it's, you know, researching more, or just, you know, talking to people who, you know, done well, you've got to get an edge. And I often have, every now and again, people saying, oh, it's okay for you, you've got more followers and you're a podcast. I think, well, yeah, I wasn't given that. You know, I decided to pursue that because I wanted to become a better investor. So if you want to become a better investor, listen, read, do everything you can to become a better investor, because you will do it. You absolutely will do it. Right now, from the age of where I was, skint, losing my mortgage deposit, to where I am now, 10 years, I'm financially independent. I have no mortgage. My portfolio is worth multiples of my house, but I love investing. I love it. I'm never going to stop doing it. And one of the scariest things, my mother has sort of short-term memory, dementia, and that's one of the scariest things to me, because if my mind goes, I won't be able to invest. I love it so much, but it's about having a passion. To me, it isn't work. I'll keep doing it for the rest of my life. And people like, you know, Buffett are inspiration, because, you know, he doesn't need the money. It's not about that. It's about finding a good business and being sort of correct, you know, researching. Like, I love it when I research a company that's not well-known, small-cap company, and you look into it and read more and more and more, and you realise, apart from the CEO and the board, and maybe a couple of others, you've researched this company more than anyone, and you know there's potential there, and you start accumulating shares. That's what I love about investing. All of a sudden, a trading update comes out, and you're right. I love that, you know? But I just want to reiterate on that first quote, out of adversity comes opportunity, you know? And if you are in a job somewhere that you don't quite like, you're doing it to pay the bills, it's low paid, and you wish you had more money, you wish you were... And it's not about becoming rich. It's about becoming independent, you know? And having that opportunity that independence gives you. And that's why I love investing. It's transformed my life within 10 years. It can do the same for you. All you have to do is put the work in. But I think it's got to be a passion as well. Otherwise, you know, I don't stop. My eyes burn in the evenings reading reports sometimes, or looking at stocks or charts. I just love it. But all I'm saying is, I mean, you know, investing is just a lovely way to spend time, I believe. It's not just about making money, it's about learning as well. And it's free, you know? The only thing that stands between you and a better investor is research time and psychology. I'll go more into that, but I mean, psychology market's very hard. But I hope you've enjoyed this first podcast. If you have, by all means, please give it a thumbs up on Apple, a decent review if you can. And on the platform of your choice, please, you know, follow, subscribe, whatever you need to do. And in episode 2, I want to go more into that passion thing. And I think it's very important. And if I tell you how many jobs I've had, you would not believe it. Even by the time I was 25, I couldn't find what I wanted to do. But I think it's very important to find your passion. And like I said, listen, no matter how old you are, go back to my brother saying, unless you made it by 40, you'll never make it. That's not true. And in fact, you know what? Warren Buffett made most of his money after the age of 50. So, there's always hope. You can always do what you want to do. Until the next episode, speak then.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.